Tonight we're turning to Zephaniah. If you start at the back of the Old Testament, it's the fourth book. If you work yourself backwards. If you're using your phone, it's easier to find. Zephaniah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, is my text for this evening. Zephaniah 2, 1 through 3, let us hear the word of God. Gather yourselves together, yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And thus we end the reading of God's word. Please be seated. And let us join together in prayer. Father, by the Spirit, enlighten our minds from this word. Teach our hearts and activate our wills. Help us to turn from our sins, keep trusting in Christ, and cause us in all we do to bring glory to your holy name. Amen. I think that most of you have probably played the game hide and seek, and you know how that works. One person supposedly covers his eyes, and supposedly counts to 100. Although sometimes I hid close to the one who was hiding his eyes, or hers, and they didn't quite make it to 100. So the others go hide someplace, and then the person tries to find them. Hide and seek, that was a fun game, I thought. My text this evening speaks about being hidden from something much worse, the wrath of God. We know what it's like to be hidden or sheltered in a storm. The last hurricane we had when we lived in New York was pretty devastating. Soon after that, we had a presbytery meeting, and the preacher for that presbytery preached on the subject, what to do in a storm. And in that sermon, he revealed that his family had moved to the lower level of the house during the storm. And I thought, that's a good idea. Why didn't I do that? There we were up in the upper bedroom sleeping, hearing the wind beating against our house. We like to be hidden when disasters come. We want to be hidden from the wrath of God on the last day. We want to be hidden by God. He's the only one who can hide us from that danger. Zephaniah, the prophet, prophesied between 640 and 612 BC, and he was referring to the day of the Lord's wrath that would come in the 500s, leading up to Jerusalem's fall in 586 BC. He was warning the people that they needed to do something to prepare for God's wrath, which was going to come in the form of the Babylonian army, which would destroy Jerusalem. So he was preaching to the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom had already fallen. Samaria had been torn down and destroyed in 722. Those two important dates in the Old Testament, 722 and 586 BC. So Zephaniah was trying to prepare the people and give them the word of the Lord, the warning. He was prophesying in the reign of a good king. The king of Judah at this time was Josiah. In Josiah's day, the law of the Lord was rediscovered. And when it was brought to the king and read to him. And he led the people in a great reformation. And no doubt the prophet Zephaniah assisted him in that. But the people continued to sin. Many who were God's people in name, they were God's people. But they continued in sin. And as a result, this destruction did come on Jerusalem in 586 BC. And what happened to Jerusalem in 586 BC is typical of the final judgment of every person in the world when the Lord Jesus returns to earth the second time. And so it's instructive not only to the people of Judah in their day, it's also instructive to us today. And the key point in this text is the last sentence in verse 3, it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And so the key thought I give you here is that we are to seek the Lord before His anger comes down upon us, for He will hide us in the day of His wrath, when His wrath comes forth. So the title of my sermon this evening is Hidden under these three headings. First of all, seek these things to prepare for the day. Seek these things. Secondly, time constraints move us to act now. Time constraints move us to act now. And thirdly, we will be hidden in the day of God's wrath. Hidden in the day of God's wrath. So first of all, seek these things to prepare for the day. In order to seek these things, the first instruction is gather together in verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation. And that could be translated shameless nation. Why were they shameless? Because they were being warned of their sin. They were being warned to repent and avoid God's wrath. And they were neglecting it. They were continuing in sin. And they weren't ashamed. You've met people who weren't ashamed by their sin. You and I have had times in our lives where we have sinned and we weren't ashamed until we got convicted by the Holy Spirit. So he says, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation. Assemble yourselves together, which is what the people of God do. We assemble together to meet with God. We assemble together to receive His instruction. We assemble together to express our love for Him and to receive wisdom and help from one another as well. We console each other. We help each other in the church of the Lord. So gather together, he says, and then start seeking. And now we move to verse 3. Seek the Lord. Verse 3 says, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth who have upheld His justice. So he appeals to his own people, his true people, who are meek, who have upheld his justice, and he tells them, seek the Lord. What do you do in a disastrous time? You seek the Lord. What do you do in a time of emergency? When you know trouble is coming, you seek the Lord. But we seek him at all times if we are his people. I know we have down times when we ignore the Lord. We have times when we forget our private worship and private devotions. We pay for that. But seek the Lord. Seek him at all times. How do we seek him? We seek him in his word. We seek him as we always refer to his word. We seek him as we pray and ask for his guidance. We seek him as we observe his providence and what he has done in our lives and what he is doing. Why am I in this situation? Why was Judah in that situation? Because of her sin. Why do we get in certain situations? Well, sometimes they just seem to happen, don't they? But then we know that the Lord is doing these things on purpose. The Lord is putting us in these situations because he wants to. Sometimes the Lord doesn't have our attention. But let me tell you something. The Lord has all kinds of ways of getting our attention. And so, seek him. There's sometimes we don't seek him. We think back after an event in our lives and we see that it was nearly a disaster. And we remember, I should have been seeking the Lord from the very start, but I forgot. I overlooked it. I was preoccupied. I was too worried. I was too busy. At all times. Remember Nehemiah. He was cupbearer to the king. One day the king sees him and says, Nehemiah, what's wrong? I can see it in your face. What's wrong? Nehemiah was concerned about his people, the people of God in Jerusalem. And what did he do? He quickly prayed to God before he answered. Right there, right on the spot, Nehemiah prayed right there. Seek the Lord to prepare for that day. And then verse 3 says, seek righteousness. In chapter 2, verse 3 of Zephaniah, seek righteousness. As Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And what are those things? Food, clothing, shelter, everyday things. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to prepare for the guests? How am I going to get through this? Seek first the kingdom of God, and these other things God will take care of. Don't worry about your life, Jesus says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. A right relationship with the Lord, that's righteousness. Seek to be right with God, the most important relationship in your life. And seek righteousness in a practical way in living righteously. Seek to live righteously. If you're to prepare for that day, seek righteousness. Hebrews 2:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14, pursue holiness. And as has already been said today, Be ye holy, says the Lord, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Seek righteousness. Seek humility, verse 3 goes on to say. Seek righteousness, seek humility. What is humility? In the past, 10 or so years, but more, maybe, of my life, whenever this subject has come up, I have just, my mind goes into a swirl because today's world seems to think that humility is not only a virtue, it's a sin. Ask someone what humility is. Some people think there is no such thing as humility. And maybe they haven't seen many humble people. That may be true. Know yourself. We are small. God is great. We're His creatures. He's the Creator. And yet, we're created in the image of God. We are the crown of His creation. And every other human being is too. Every other human being deserves to be treated with respect. Created in the image of God. And so, the Bible teaches us things like, think of others more highly than you think of yourself. And what does American culture say to that today? You're nuts. You've lost your mind. Because we live in a culture that worships self. No wonder we don't know what humility is. You want to know humility? Then sometime reread Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He left his home in glory to come and live among sinners, to live a perfect life, to suffer and die upon the cross, and to arise from the dead, that God's people might do the same. If anyone teaches humility by example, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told here, you want to be ready for the day of God's wrath? Seek humility. Seek humility. Seek righteousness. Seek the Lord. But the problem is, Romans 3:11 says, there is none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. Romans 3:11. So what do? We have to be touched by the Spirit. We have to be born again and given a new heart. Until then, we can't seek these things. We don't want these things. We have to be sought before we can seek. Jesus told about the shepherd who had 100 sheep. One was lost. What did the shepherd do? He left the 99 and sought that one sheep and found him and brought him back. He seeks us first. Remember the hymn. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew. He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. It was not I who found, O Savior, true. Us, we would never have sought Him. So we're grateful for the seeking shepherd. The people of God must seek these things to prepare for that day. Secondly, there are time constraints concerning this day, which make it necessary that we prepare for the day now. Do it now. And I guess everyone tends to be a procrastinator. I don't know. I know there are some compulsive people who maybe they want to do it right now, but I haven't met many of them. You know, we tend to put things off. This is one thing that needs to be settled. It's very urgent. Seek those things now. I imagine some of you have been in urgent care, maybe more than once. You can go to urgent care and get a doctor to help you if your own doctor is not available or under certain conditions. And then if it's really bad, you can go to the ER. You can go to the emergency room. Because who knows, you might die. That's pretty urgent. So you go to emergency. Spiritually, there are emergencies as well. And this one is coming up. The judgment is coming. Judgment is coming for Judah. Judgment is coming for Jerusalem. Yes, it's decades away, but the people are settled in their ways. They're not responding. The prophet is urgent. Take care of this, he says in verse 2, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Notice how he repeats that. Do it now. The Lord in His Word tells us to be faithful stewards. Stewards of our talents, our spiritual gifts, stewards of our time. And so, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, we are told, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Colossians 4, 5. Redeeming the time, or we could translate, making the most of the opportunity. Time means opportunity. And all our time is running out. Mine seems to be running out faster than it used to be. Our opportunities are limited. Opportunities to do good, to bear witness for Christ, to grow in grace, to become a more sanctified person. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. So don't delay. Life is short. Sometimes we are taken out of this world suddenly, quickly, at an unexpected time. Sometimes people know that they are terminal. We're all terminal, but the doctor says you may have 6 months, you may have less, or some other number. And so it's a slow, drawn-out process for some. We don't know when that day is. But we do know it's coming, unless Jesus comes back first. I had a high school science teacher who was named Mr. Harrison. Mr. Harrison frightened all the students. We were all afraid of Mr. Harrison. Sometimes Mr. Harrison would, yes, this is in the olden days. Teachers could actually do this in these days. He would actually grab a guy, a boy, by the neck and scrub his head. He was famous for scrubbing heads. And Mr. Harrison was a little gruff for a Southerner. I don't know where he came from, but He was there teaching in our high school. He may have lived around the corner for all I know. But he was a little gruff with us, and we were terrified. So he would call on students and ask questions, you know. You know how some teachers do that at random. They would call on someone and ask a question, a science question. Well, if that student hesitated, Mr. Harrison would say, "Hurry up, Christmas is coming," in his impatient voice. "The end is coming. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Isaiah 55:6. That's Isaiah 55:6. And the Lord Jesus said, "Surely I'm coming quickly." And I know we count the years and we say, well, about 2,000 years and it hasn't happened yet. I know. But it comes upon us suddenly. When it actually happens, it seems sudden. We only have so much time to repent of our sins, to trust in Christ, to grow in Christ, to do good for Him, to glorify Him. We only have a certain number of days until the final judgment. The old gospel song says, "Life's evening sun, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun." Time constraints. Prepare to meet your God. Thirdly, God's people are hidden in the day of His wrath. Verse 3, the end part of the verse, the last part of the verse, "It may be that you'll be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger if you seek these things." If the Lord has sought you and you seek these things and you seek Him, you will be hidden in that day. The day Jerusalem falls, there would be a remnant of God's people. There would be a smaller number of true children of God, as there always is. Just like in the world today, there's a remnant. Just like in the visible church, there is an invisible church, the true church of Jesus Christ. You will be hidden in the day Jerusalem falls, Zephaniah says. You will be hidden in the day of final judgment if you belong to the Lord and seek those things as He has sought you. We need to be hidden because we cannot hide from Him. That's been tried before. Remember Adam and Eve? They tried to hide from Him and He just started talking to them. Told them, "Come out of there," in essence. And clothed them. We can't hide from God. Jonah tried that. Tried to run from God. And pretty soon he found out he couldn't do it. We cannot hide ourselves from God. God must hide us. It's not just that we will be hidden. It's that God is the one who will hide us. We cannot protect ourselves. We must have the protection of our God. And here's an important point to remember. To hide in the Hebrew language is also to cover. To cover. To make atonement. To cover by a payment in the Hebrew language. And so, Leviticus 17:11 speaks to this, and Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17:11. Now you know and I know people who mistakenly think, as I mentioned this morning, that Old Testament saints were saved by works. And look at this verse in Leviticus. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And the blood of the sacrifices of the Old Testament people of God was a type pointing to the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. God hides His people, covers them from His wrath with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to hide His people from His wrath, never forget this. In order to hide His people from His wrath, God exposed His only begotten Son. His wrath came down on Calvary. His wrath came down on the only perfect person to ever live, the Lamb of God, slain for sinners. He covers us with the blood of His Son. He suffered and bled and died. He endured that wrath. He went to hell for us so that we don't have to. He arose from the dead so that we would. He will come again to receive us to Himself. And that's why God's people will be hidden in the day of His wrath. And that's Zephaniah's message. There will be no place for non-believers to hide in that great day. They will want to hide. They will be unable to hide. And they will hear these awful, horrible words that are recorded in Matthew 25:41. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in the spiritual emergency room. So appeal to His mercy before it's too late. If you are a Christian, you are forever safe, hidden by Jesus Christ. In fact, you are hidden right now. Colossians 3:3 says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. You have a shelter. You are, thank God, eternally safe. Eternally secure. So until that day, we can be busy putting to death the old ways of sin and walking in the new life, the life of the Spirit that has been given to us by God's grace. Our talk, our attitude, our actions all should reflect the new life we have in Jesus Christ. And by His grace and Spirit, they will. I close with these verses from Romans 5:8-9. Romans 5:8-9, but God demonstrates His own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Through Him. Amen. Our Father, Almighty and everlasting God, we know that You are pure and holy, that You will not acquit the guilty. But we thank You for Your Son, by whose blood we are covered. We thank You for the Spirit who gives us life so we can trust in Jesus and repent of our sins. Father, grant us grace to live worthily of our high calling for the sake of Jesus Christ, Your Son. Amen.